Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting show. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Halloween-infested coconut and, what's it called, pumpkin lantern paradise of New Zealand. That's right, we make coconut lanterns. In fact, I saw a very interesting Facebook picture. You know, is the great thing about Facebook is there are a hell of a lot of really funny, funny things in there. Ultimately, you get exposed to a few. One was a pumpkin that was put in somebody's windowsill, a little candle inside and everything, and it had the words "frack off" carved into it. Of course, I'm using a euphemism, but I thought that was quite funny because a lot of people really don't like the kids coming out and trick-or-treating and what have you. And sure enough, has anybody else noticed, or at least this is the case in New Zealand anymore, children just ain't doing the trick-or-treating thing no more, bro. They're either too lazy to come up with a costume, too distracted by Xbox and PlayStation and semi-pornographic music videos. What the heck is going on here? And the answer is scumbaggery. Oh, yeah. It's always the problem. Everything comes back to scumbaggery at the end of the day. It's quite funny, isn't it? And speaking of scumbaggery, we have an expert here on Masonic scumbaggery. James Wright, and I believe he's brought somebody with him. Okay. Okay, so who's this other person you've got with you, James?
Well, it's a distant cousin of mine, but she prefers to actually go by a stage name and dealing with all this for obvious reasons. She doesn't want to be a target, you know, in her career or anything from the Masons and their anger and everything of what we've been doing. But she's an excellent singer, and her stage name is Diana Rose Croy, the Rose Croy being a sort of a takeoff of the Masonic term, Rose Croy. So.
And sort of a takeoff of Diana Ross at the same time?
Well, more like, well, I guess so, but no, more along the lines of Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I found it interesting that her nickname was Princess Di, and then she died.
Yeah, well, I think she was meant to from the start. That's what that family does, is kill all their wives.
Yeah, well, since the days of Henry VIII, I've got syphilis and she won't have sex with me. I'll just kill her and marry somebody else. I'm the king, after all. Hey, well, hold on a second. Aren't you just a hereditary dictator? Nothing noble about you whatsoever? That's right. But I currently have a whole bunch of people fooled to believe I am actually noble.
Yeah, that's about right.
You see, you really can't. You really can't fault them. They've really got a flawless system, and they got it down swimmingly. So let's talk about Masonic. Where's song? In fact, we could probably play it next segment, right? Are there any cuss words in it or anything like that? Anything that might breach FCC regulated radio? Masons assassinate me in my home?
Well, the lyrics are pretty suggestive, but no, there's one line where it says, if you're my bitch, can I treat you like a whore? So
we can talk about female dogs all we want on FCC regulated radio.
Fantastic.
So see that, I guess we dodged that bullet, didn't we?
Well, the whole reason for this really was in lieu of the circumstances that unfolded in California, I was pretty furious, as usual, with the way that they, you know, really made a muck-up of everything that I was doing over there. And so I came up with this concept, all right, well, I'll spread awareness through pop culture just like they do with their own symbology and everything and music videos and what have you. So I decided what a perfect song would be is Madonna's Erotica, but redo like a parody of it and call it Masonica.
Yeah. And how did that work out for you?
Well, it's actually gotten rave reviews. It's been getting a lot of views on YouTube. It's just the audio. We haven't done like a video yet, but we intend on it. And I mean, the thing about it, though, is the lyrics are pretty suggestive and filthy, but it is the truth of what goes on in the higher echelons of that order. And it's certainly what my experience was and a lot of other people as well. So it's very truthful.
Well, could you elaborate on that?
Well, for example, when I was working at the Dallas Scottish Rite, my boss, the Secretary General, for months and months, everything was very platonic and amicable. But then toward the end, when everything was blowing up and the whole H-bomb was going off and all that, he came to me at my aunt's house in Dallas and met me there and proceeded to come on to me. And the whole reasoning of it was, you know, I'll fix this mess, I'll smooth things over with the Supreme Council, but you've got to sleep with me. And it was really disgusting. He was 65 years old. I was 28. And I was very appalled by it and replied with a stern no. And it would seem that he didn't have any desire to help me after that.
And how does that actually reflect in the lyrics? I mean, what's the lyric to suggest that?
Well, first of all, when you're dealing with all of the Masonic speak in the lodge rituals and everything, it does have a certain homoerotic tone to it. I mean, it, almost like some sort of a bondage scene or whatever, because it's a lot of, oh yes, worshipful master, and I await your pleasure, and all this sort of bizarre English that's used, and that's standard worldwide in all Masonic lodges, and that's just on the lower level, the Blue Lodge. And
it does sound like a little cold, you know?
Oh yes, worshipful master, I will clean your shoes for you.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah. And not only that, but, you know, when I was working in that position at the Scottish Rite, there were so many Masons that would come in and hit on me and try to get me to go off and do things with them. And they would say that I was the only gay Mason that there was, which is just ridiculous. I mean, that's so stupid to even humor as a talking point. No, there's plenty, but a lot of them, in Texas especially, you know, they're closeted, and so it's like this little secret dealing within a secret society. These guys do use it as a place, with those Masonic oaths being the mechanism to get away with it. You know, oh yeah, we can go off and have a tawdry affair, brother, and no one has to know about it. You know, like your wife or mine, or you know, that sort of thing. It's really sick.
Can you elaborate exactly how do they keep all of this locked down? Because if it's as widespread as you say, surely somebody would notice.
Well, not really. I mean, if you go and you hit on someone and they respond or they don't, you know, if some sort of clandestine affair develops from that, then, I mean, who knows besides the two people that are in it? But then, you know, like with Masonica, I put that out in late August recently, and of course they immediately respond with, oh no, here he goes again, we don't do that, he's insane, blah, blah, blah. Then 1 week later, there was a lodge in Michigan that was busted for, I kid you not, a sex, drug, videotape, the whole nine yards, orgy in the lodge. And they, of course, responded to that and said, oh, well, no, it was a rental that was in there doing it. Well, if that was the case, then why were all of you present? So I'll have to pull up that article right now and get it to you.
So the whole culture is really, because just bear in mind, we're not talking, we're talking about Blue Lodge Masons and all the other ones which only have 3 degrees, or are we're specifically talking about the Scottish Rite 33rd degree kind of Masons?
Well, with my experience, we're talking about the Scottish Rite, but like with this lodge in Michigan that was busted, that was just your everyday around the corner lodge.
Was it a Scottish Rite or a Blue Lodge? Wait, hold on a second. Because I know a couple of things about this. Allegedly, there's a couple of different types of lodges, and the Scottish Rite is like the biggest and the most powerful, because what it's done is it's taken Freemasonry, corrupted it from its original core values and roots, and used the fact that it's secret instead of using secret to make people relaxed and comfortable and actually teach you sort of something about freaking life and the universe and what have you, becomes used as a blanket in order to conceal scumbaggery.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, I mean, you and I have had these conversations with Frater X, and he agrees, and yeah, the Scottish Rite over the last 100 years has really turned the tables on Freemasonry as a global institution, and they've really taken over, and they've bankrupted a lot of Blue Lodges and York Rite commanderies and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I'm looking at this article right now. It was the Masonic Temple in Battle Creek, Michigan. Now, when you say Masonic Temple, that alludes to York Rite. So that would be the higher echelon of that. So, I mean, I've never personally been to the Masonic building in Battle Creek, Michigan, so I can't personally say, oh, it houses this and that and the other, but it's mainstream Freemasonry, you know, official establishment Freemasonry, and here they are, just out of control, having a drug-fueled sex party, to quote the article.
Oh, my God. Right, these are community leaders, aren't they?
Oh, yes, pillars of the community. Remember that. Every city worldwide, we're pillars of the community.
Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm sure they were happy to dress up, eh?
Yes. What are you going as for Halloween? I'm going as a drug-fueled sex mason.
You know, does the scarf go with the drug-fueled sex mason motif?
Probably some sort of, like, S&M attire, I would imagine.
Sorry, I don't know what S&M attire is.
I guess, like, leather chaps or something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. What kind of facial hair are we talking here with the wild sex party? Were we talking mutton chops?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or a caricature evil handlebar mustache, yeah.
You know, there's been a number of studies done all over the place, testing people in prison situations, testing people in authority situations, testing people in wealth situations. And my conclusion based upon all the results of these various studies is that if you have absolute power and no responsibility and a lot of resources, you almost always go bad, like really, really bad. You just turn into a douche. And it would seem to me that the higher up the scale you go, the greater the risk, and also the greater the douche that you could turn into. Like, if I were to say to you, James, you know, here's $1,000. Go out on the town and don't break any laws, but be as big of a douche as you can. And then you're like, all right, man, you become quite a horrific douchebag for doing all that in such a short period of time. With $1,000, then imagine you've got $1 billion. Holy cow. You see, it's an infinite scale. And it's given rise to my belief that there's such a thing as infinite scumbaggery, right? Somebody would be so much of a scumbag that it doesn't matter how you try and classify them, how you try to predict them, he's still even more of a scumbag than that. Like there's room for growth kind of thing. Like they can become even worse. Even if they're already the worst there is.
Oh, totally. I mean, these Masons that are in charge, they're not in it for the whole purpose of doing good or charity or anything like that. They're in it to have statues bronzed of themselves and their paintings hung on the wall and rooms named after them and that sort of thing, because they, you know, with you're dealing with somebody who's narcissistic and egotistical and all that, then it's that whole immortalization of themselves that they're seeking to add on to their already overblown ego. And yeah, that's exactly the nature of the beast.
Infinite scumbaggery, which is allowed to go through the motions, take control over society because of everybody else's infinite complacency.
Yeah, and they've been getting away with this for years. They ringlead it. I mean, I know it goes on everywhere in the world, but the Freemasons really do have the market cornered with it. And, I mean, the stuff I'm dealing with right now, you know, the situation that's unfolding with my publisher, New Falcon, and all that. I mean, here again, you have this CEO who is a malignant narcissist, actually, is what people have referred to him as that I've now talked to. And there's this agenda that he's running. I mean, publishers are in the business of selling books, and yet they are refusing to move the merchandise that is my book and sell it to the distributors and all that, because the Masons have obviously cracked down on this guy, who I found out too late is a Mason himself. And, you know, here we go once again. So I'm currently dealing with an attorney in Hollywood, and because my contracts all stipulate that any litigation has to be brought in Southern California. So it's a pain in the butt. I don't have any money really to be doing this and retaining attorneys, but I'm trying to struggle along and deal with it. In the meantime, I'm now talking to other publishers who are interested in absorbing my work, but it's like, you know, here I am again at this point where I'm having to stop what I'm doing and go backward. Why go forward when you can go backward? You know, and it gets really annoying, but that's the way that they set the system up. And then what's more frightening than that is it would appear that for probably the better part of 2 years now, and this may sound funny to some people and to others it won't, it looks like I've kind of had a bit of a CIA handler, as it were. And that has to do with someone that I've been really good friends with for a long time. He's a famous author. He actually set up the whole deal with New Falcon and established that dialogue between me and them. And I have this other quote-unquote whistleblower. His name is Leo Zagami, and he's a Italian P2 Lodge Freemason. And he contacted me when I was in Denver 2 months ago and was telling me, oh, yeah, this guy is CIA, blah, blah, blah. And I really didn't believe what he was saying. But then he sent me photographic evidence that they do know each other. And it would appear that yes, the guy is. And it's like, well, so what was this all along? I mean, when I wrote this book and it was picked up with this publisher, was this just an agenda, you know, like, oh, well, I guess he's going to do this anyway, so we better hop to it and buy this up and sit on the contracts. And I mean, because I have a letter from Barnes & Noble Corporate to my publisher saying we would like to stock our stores with this book, and yet he will not send them the stock to do so. So, I mean, how much sense does this make? It doesn't.
It does make a lot of sense if you're a psychopath. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is James Wright and also the Princess Diana-ish. Yes, I forget the name. I'm sorry.
Diane Rosecroy.
Rosecroy. Okay. Yeah, boy. Now, you were saying something earlier, James, about how these Masons were like approaching you, propositioning you, and saying that you were the only gay Mason. And it made me think of this song, I'm the Only Gay Eskimo in My Tribe. Have you ever heard of this song?
No, I haven't.
Hey, AFR, we've got the song queued up. Just play the first 16 seconds of the song, the little chorus. It's quite funny. Anytime you're ready.
I'm the only gay Eskimo. I'm the only one I know. I'm the only gay Eskimo in my tribe.
All right, there we go. That's good. It was just like doing a Masonic version of that, you know.
Yeah,
only gay 33rd degree Mason.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the only thing that bothered me about that whole experience was this attitude that they had that, you know, because I was openly gay and I guess none of the rest of them are, that sort of equates me to, like, the prostitute of the building, so... When you're in there, why wouldn't you go up and hit him up for sex or, you know, to go off, do this, do that? It's really strange. Of course, granted, it is Texas, you know, so you're dealing with some backwards thinking there. But that aside, I mean, it's just stupid that, you know, anyone would have to deal with this in a place of employment. And then what recourse do I have? Do you think I can just go... sue the Scottish Rite? No. They are the lawyers. They are the judges. I mean, what good would that do?
Mm. It's the real, it's the international Uber Mafia kind of thing. Speaking of which, we have the song Masonica, I believe, also lined up. So we're going to go through that now and then have a little bit, wee bit of a... discussion on it afterwards. So AFR, if you're ready, please go right ahead and play that.
Masonica.
I don't know about you or anybody else, but it's very difficult to hear the words for me. Could you actually, have you even got like a list of the words there or something like that, we actually run through what it means?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you expand, you know, where you click show more, all the lyrics are there. Interestingly, I don't think it's really a problem with the audio. I think it's the bass that's in it, because if you pull up Madonna's Erotica on YouTube, it's just as difficult to hear her through the music, so I don't know. I'm not an audio engineer, so I can't answer what the problem is.
Ah, well, you know, could be worse, I guess. At least we have the lyrics down there for people to read.
Yes, it's on YouTube under Diana Rose Croix, spelled C-R-O-I-X, and Masonica. So,
yeah, should be easy enough. Well. We're talking about, well, it's Halloween today, right?
Right.
Do the Masons celebrate Halloween by like dressing in normal clothes or something?
I'm sure that there's plenty lodges that might have some sort of, you know, a dinner or function or something like that. But then again, there's a lot that don't do anything around a holiday just because they know that nobody's going to show up because everybody's busy.
Everybody's busy doing what? Because I've heard that there's like rituals and things like that that some occult groups practice on days like Halloween, also on September 11th and what have you. Anything like that going on? You know, like
Well, it's not anything you're ever going to see on their websites, on the public calendars, but yeah, that stuff goes on all the time. And then there's, like you said, other groups like the OTO, for example. I'm sure they have something going on nationwide and all the different lodges and whatnot. But it's, you know, you'd have to be a member of that inner circle within Freemasonry to even have an invitation to something like that. It's sort of like those seances that used to go on at 3 a.m. when I worked at the Scottish Rite. You know, nobody knows about it except those in the know.
Well, I believe those are known as you don't seance.
Yeah.
I would like to hear if there are any actual stories. I mean, specifically, if they're talking to some kind of dark occult ritual on like Halloween or something, what would they be doing? You know, like kidnapping a child out of one of the orphanages that they donate to or something like that, and torturing them horrifically, and then drinking their blood when it's all full of the child's adrenaline and so on and so forth, and then laughing maniacally, and then running around and getting into some kind of a sex orgy and smearing the blood all over your testicles?
Well, I mean, we can joke about it, but in all seriousness, yes, that it does go to that kind of a level in places. And, like, you know, with Masonica, we don't do that. That's not, how dare he? And then 1 week later, they're in Michigan for doing exactly what the song says. So, no, don't look here. They do, and they are, and everybody's worst nightmares about them are true. It's just that most Masons themselves don't realize that, because most Masons will never in their lives make it to that top level, ever.
How many people who work selling burgers as a cashier at McDonald's go on to become the CEO?
Zero.
Ever.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay, it just doesn't happen. No wonder you think the Masons have nothing wrong with them, because you've never even been with them. The real ones at the top. It's a deception thing, isn't it? It's so easy to deceive people that trust you.
Oh, yeah. The only reason that I made it there was, one, I was very dedicated and I guess did things right or whatever. But then, two, I would have never even been in the position to excel had it not been for the whole bloodline overtone and the way that it runs in my family. And my grandfather's painting hung over the Dallas Scottish Rite's library fireplace. So if that's any indicator as to where I come from, yeah. I mean, I was thrown right into that mix, and I guess I rose pretty fast, but, you know, it wasn't until I was on that Supreme Council payroll that I was able to take a good look around myself and go, oh, shoot, it's exactly what people say about it on the internet. It's horrible. It's evil.
Now, there's also a lot of people who say, oh, you're just coming up with a whole bunch of stuff that's on the internet. And I find that an absolutely hilarious, very, very foolish response to some kind of piece of information. I learned it on the internet, therefore it's not true. Do you realize all the information in the available world is pretty much on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and then everybody, these same people gloss over the fact that, you know, I'm, to my knowledge, the only person in the world who's been able to identify the quote-unquote Illuminati by its real, true, proper name. They don't call themselves the Illuminati. They call themselves the Order of the Silver Star.
Hey, it doesn't, wasn't that like a female kind of Mason offshoot or something?
Oh, you're thinking Eastern Star, and that's a joke. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's a place to stick the wives to have a coffee clatch to help them, you know, have them cook dinner for the lodges and that sort of thing. It's really stupid, in my opinion.
Because I believe that Helen Clark, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, now number three, or is it number two, at the UN, was a member of that order as well. And we do see a lot of this kind of thing happening, where you have very high-level Masons that make it into leadership positions and wind up changing countries that they're in charge of rather significantly. For example, right now, at the moment, we have Len Brown, the mayor of Auckland, caught up in a sex scandal. He's a Mason. We have the John Banks, who's a member of parliament. He's a Mason, and he's going down for fraud right now over donations. And the Prime Minister, John Key, Luke Morphy, also a Mason. Welcome to New Zealand. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay. Final segment of the first hour here. My very special guest is a Scottish Rite Freemason whistleblower, James Wright. Now, can you elucidate to people, let's say, Masons themselves, what their situation actually really is? What are they even being used for, the lower level grunts, as it were? Because every war has people that are on the front line that simply get used by the commanders in order to accomplish an objective. What I want to know what that objective actually is.
Well, the short answer to that is free labor and to feed what goes on up top. I mean, after all, it takes all the lemmings to raise the millions of dollars that they then sit on and play with and use for their own, you know, gauche elaborate decor and their oak desks and their offices and the whole nine yards. Real quick, though, we can come back to that in a second, but my cousin is here. She's got to go, but she wanted to tell you her views on doing Masonica and all that.
Okay.
Okay, well, first, James asked me to sing the song and said, why not? That sounds good to me. And personally, after helping Jay with lots of things, the spying on the people, knocking on my doors, playing with the doors, people breaking into my telephone and getting cut off, I just had enough and I decided, well, why not? And I first laughed when I read it, and we did it about 2 takes, and that was done. And ever since Masonica came on, they did get caught in Michigan having a sex orgy, just like the song suggests. So just to prove, they must have got excited over the song themselves, because they went ahead and did it. So I just really know that there's a lot of things that are happening in this world, and the evil just has to stop. And I just want people to not be brainwashed, and basically that's about it, really. And have a good time. I mean, the thing of it is, with Masonica itself, the song, no matter if you love it or you hate it, it gets stuck in your head over and over again. And so we decided to put it up on YouTube, and at 1333 hits, they took it down and muted it and left the lyrics going, and then they completely muted it. That by the next day, and
yeah, claiming copyright issues.
Yeah, which we're not selling anything or anything like that. So we just had a good time and put it up and seeing what it does. Songs basically have a life of their own, and they go where they need to go. And the person that did make a comment, her video happened to have a link to one of her pages of a Canadian prime minister saying to destroy the Illuminati. And honestly, I would say the people that are truly, you would call Illuminati or royals, they don't really want to destroy anything. They're too busy serving people and visiting those in prison and spending their life just helping people. They're not trying to destroy anything. That's not their heart. So,
yeah, real royals, not the Windsors in England.
No, we don't need a parade. We don't need a parade. We don't need praise. We just really want to get the truth out, and our gems are wisdom and knowledge and love, and we just want to give as much love that's the most important thing that there is. And so, but when Dave told me about Masonica, I said, absolutely. In a heartbeat, let's do it. Press record. So it was just a really good time. It was, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to do it. And hopefully in the near future, we can get a whole album about Freemasonry out. So,
what do you think about that, Vinny? Would you contribute?
Yeah, I could probably throw in a tune here or there. And I see how it pans out.
We'll just see what happens. And
fun.
So that's the plan. I want to bring out a full Masonic album written by me and James. So
the chronic Masonic album.
Chronicles of
the Chronicles of the Masonicals.
Oh, whatever.
Which are a pair of spectacles that Masons wear.
So, anyway, I'm just happy to help James. And, you know, if we can get people aware of what's going on and they can have a good time dancing. So. Yeah.
Well, I think it boils down to this. I think it boils down to this. People are trying to surveil and kill James. There's a reason for that. Because he's got real nasty information and frickin' backdown stories on all of their scumbaggery. Right? And they need to shut him up. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want their scumbaggery to revealed, make sure that they don't shut James up. Give him a hand. In fact, you have that Occupy Freemasonry thing on Facebook too, don't you, that people can go to and contribute.
Thank you, Ben. I must go.
Okay, well, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Yeah, the site is facebook.com/ Occupy Freemasonry. And, you know, if anybody wants the ebook of my book, Freemasonry's Cult Abuses, I am more than happy at the moment to dispense that for free because of the situation that's unfolding with New Falcon Publications. They don't want to sell it. They're trying to control the information. My second book, Freemasonry's Filthy Rituals, was supposed to have been released July 31st. That never happened, even though it went to the art department for the cover design, and I showed you that, and you wrote the foreword for it, Vinny, and it went to the typesetters, and it was just about to be run off when they pulled the plug on it and decided to promote whatever little agenda is going on out there in Hollywood. I guess, I don't want to speculate, but those are the facts, and it's very frustrating to be trying to get information out, and then, of course, the trolls try to say, oh, you're doing this for the money and the glamour. No, I haven't seen a dime yet, and like I said, I'm happy right now to dispense the ebook of my first book for free.
And they can just get that off the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, well, it doesn't let me upload it as a file there. But anybody that wants it, I mean, just contact me, message me and tell me so, and I'll be happy to email it to you or whatever.
I could upload it as a file to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com with the archives to this show if you want, so that everybody who goes to the archives can download it there. And then, of course, they can just copy the link of the file there and share that anywhere they want.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. And so if you just transfer me the file after the show, mate. We'll get that sorted out for you. Oh, there it is. Okay. So there we go. We'll sort that one out for you. Hey, it occurs to me, damn, I've helped you a lot, bro.
I know. I'm very grateful.
Yeah. Where's everybody else in this equation? I mean, well, wasn't there like some kind of radio station that you were doing in, was it Wisconsin or
Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
Yeah, I did a month worth of shows there at KFKA 1310 AM, and it went really well. It was the Scooter McGee show, and I mean, I had a blast. So no complaints there. I know their ratings went way up over it, and I mean, honestly, it's to a point now where a lot of people are saying, you know, well, maybe you should just do your own show. And I mean, I'm open to doing that. Of course, I would need a really nice microphone, you know, because right now I'm having to contend with the built-in one on a MacBook, which is kind of crappy.
Well, you know, you start wherever you start, mate. That's, I started on doing a speakerphone off of my iMac. You know, and then one person sends you a USB headset, and then after that somebody sends you a microphone, and then after that a better microphone. You know, it works in stages. So the key to doing radio, both advice for you, James, and for anybody else, is just start. You don't need anything, okay? As long as you're able to record your voice with whatever device is available, and as long as people can actually tell that it's, you know, words and stuff, and doesn't just sound like some kind of a garbled, incredibly nasty sort of Cybertronian digital landscape of sound, magnanimous with the stars and so on and so forth, so you don't even know what the hell they're saying. As long as it's legible, then just fucking do it. You know, you've got nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. And at some point down the track, because you've got an audience, your audience might actually get sick of the fairly low quality that you've currently got. So buy your new microphone anyway. We'll be right back after the break. The virus alert the masses.